And then they shall see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The language of the Cajuns, the old French who settled in South Louisiana, is quite colorful, as used to be in general the language of those who lived in the South before everything became kind of homogenized as a result of television, I imagine. One of their charming phrases came to mind this week as I read one of the Gospels. When they want to call with affection a child or a pet, Cajuns will say, "Come see." Not just come here, but come see. You can almost hear the French in that, "Viens voir," come see. I thought of that because that's exactly what our Lord said in one of the Gospels this past week, an Advent Gospel, surely, from St. John's first chapter, one of my favorite Gospels, which is read for the vigil of St. Andrew the Apostle. Come see. In today's Gospel, I don't know if it's anyone's favorite, but like last week, it is meant to strike a little sense of fear into us. St. Luke writes about how when he comes on the clouds in majesty at the end, all men and all nations shall see, and they shall be filled with fear. But now it is not yet so. And this other gospel tells us about how today he comes as a teacher, and he just invites you to come and see. This is the story of it. John the Baptist is preaching on the Jordan. We'll meet him later this Advent. He sees our Savior walking down the bank. He stops. He points. He cries out, "Ecce Agnus Dei," as still says the priest at the Holy Communion of every Mass. "Behold the Lamb of God." And right away, two of his followers detach themselves from the group, and they go after Jesus. Andrew and St. John the Evangelist, who would later write the tale. Our Lord turns around to look at them, to welcome them, and he says, "What seek you?" Now, listen to what they're asking him. Perhaps they were embarrassed and didn't know what to say, first of all. So one of them blurts out, "Teacher, where dwellest thou?" In other words, where do you live? And our Lord's beautiful response, "Come and see." And then St. John, with a marvelous economy of language, says, "They came and they saw, and they abode with him that day." Now, it was about the 10th hour. St. John always gives you the time because it's significant. The Jews told time by 2 12-hour periods, beginning at dawn, 6 a.m. until about 6 p.m. So when he says it was the 10th hour, he means 2 hours before sunset, now about 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, our time. In other words, that day when they came and they saw and they came to believe in our Lord was a very short one, just a couple of hours. There's a meaning for that. Our Advent this year is terribly short, just 3 weeks and no more. But a lot can be done in those 3 weeks. Your lives may be very short. Some of you who hear this sermon this morning will not be here a year from now. You will die in the meantime. What a salutary thought that is. And in the meantime, your preoccupation must be, "Master, teacher, where dwellest thou?" So that he may say to you too, "Come and see." Now, after Andrew and John come and they see and they believe, in a couple of hours is all it took. What is their first instinct? to get someone else and bring them to the master. And so Andrew thinks of his brother Peter, and he tells him, Peter comes, and he becomes an apostle of our Lord. In the meantime, our Lord continues the same work. He finds Philip, and he simply says to Philip, follow me. But Philip, instead of just staying with our Lord, Philip goes to find a friend of his who's a very devout man, who knows the scriptures, i.e. religion, very well, but a bit of a skeptic, maybe. His name is Nathanael. Our Lord would salute him as the true Israelite in whom there is no guile, no cheating, no dishonesty. Well, Nathanael is either a little prejudiced because our Lord is known as the son of St. Joseph from Nazareth, a city of Galilee in the north. And some authors say maybe he was thinking, as he said, can any good come out of Nazareth? But the more likely explanation, the authors tell us, why Nathanael made that comment, which found its way into the gospel, can any good come out of Nazareth, is that he knew the scriptures, and he knew that the all-good Son of God would be born in Bethlehem of Judea and not Nazareth. But he didn't know that that is where our Lord was born. Very important. What does Philip do when Nathanael throws this objection at him? He doesn't stop to argue with him. There's a time for questions and answers and apologetics, but not yet. He simply says, come and see. He quotes our Lord. And he knows that our Lord, his blessed presence, his grace would do the rest. So must it be for us? Instead of some long discussion or an argumentation, how important it is just to get somebody in the door sometimes. Arguing about the Pope, I mean, and all the rest of it. Well, that has its place, but not yet, not right away. Someone might say to you, over Christmas, something about how unsatisfactory is his church, or he's dropped off, he doesn't go to church anymore. And you could say, as so many have at St. Gertrude over so many years, well, come to our church. It's beautiful at Christmas. Hear the old beautiful music and see how important that would be. That's what Nathanael did. That's what Philip did, rather. And then so Nathanael received the gift of faith because of that. And he cries out that our Lord is not just a great man, as they will tell you today. Well, that tired phrase they used this past week, Ratzinger and company, the leader of a great monotheistic religion, whatever that's supposed to be. No, that he's the King of Israel, that he's the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. Nathanael says that on his own, after he came and after he saw. Where dwellest thou? A lot of people will visit a lot of churches this coming Christmas season, but they won't see our Lord, and they won't see where he dwells. They will only see him in a traditional Catholic church in the truly consecrated Holy Eucharist. They will only see him in a true Catholic church with the tabernacle as the very heart of the altar, because this is where Jesus dwells today. What a thought, and what a richness, and what a treasure is ours. Many, many people will be coming at Christmas time to churches. And sometimes they come out of custom, and sometimes they come for the sake of curiosity, but always because of some implicit invitation. Sure, you'd be welcome. That's why it's important to greet visitors with a smile. suppress the temptation to say something rude or unkind because someone doesn't quite know all the rules yet, and welcome them in. And perhaps you could be like Saint Andrew or Saint Philip. Imagine that. You could be like a saint. It's fairly easy. You just have to invite someone to come to church with you. That's always been the strength of our church. And it's a good resolution to renew at the beginning of this new church year. Remember, it's only here that you can see where he dwells and actually see him. Not imagine how he must have been because of some preacher's words or the music put forth by a choir, but to actually see him and adore him in the Blessed Sacrament. And when you get yourself to church, as well as anyone else whom you may pray God bring with you, because it is Christmas, there will be some exchange of gifts, something to give and something to get. When you see our Lord, how could you not want to give him? If not your whole life, at least start out by giving him your sins. And if you do that, how could you help not but get from him grace and increase, or the start of sanctifying grace, and with it, the gifts, the wonderful seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, which could make you appreciate this year your faith more than you ever have before. Just pick one of the seven presents under the tree of the cross at random, understanding, whereby the faith is not some series of articles you read about once when you were little in a book, but the living truth of the living God. Understanding whereby this faith is yours. You begin to peer into it, to perceive it, to make it your own in your life. And as a result of that come the fruits after the gifts of the Holy Ghost. When we speak in the church of love or of peace or of joy, we're not talking about Christmas card sentiment. We're talking about the real effect of the real thing, God's grace, in our lives, because we see, having come, how much our Lord loves us. And then finally, and for everyone, what an assistance is given in carrying the burdens of life, whether it be some guilt over sin or some awful difficulty with your family, some financial grief or some illness. He is here to help you to carry that burden. There's another meaning to the word carry, and I think that's used in the South. Instead of saying, I took so-and-so to church with me today, and God love those of you who give rides to others to Mass, they would say, I carried her to church. Not literally on your back, although some of you would if you needed to, I know, but it's just an old way of saying that you took someone. I carried her to Christ. That's what Andrew did, and that's what Philip did, and that's what we need to do this Advent in preparation for Christmas. They came and they saw. He will come again, and everybody, all men and all nations will see. No longer the gentle teacher, but a judge to their terror. But in the meantime, how important that you should see and that you should come. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.